I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're looking at some scriptures that talk about where God tells the people, you've never been this way before. I'm going to take you on a path that you've never traveled on before, that you've never been down before in your life. We're going to take a look at some of these scriptures today and just asking for God's help. Because I believe when God, we start our journey with God, we start walking with God in our life, he takes us down, I believe, a different path than we've ever been before. And I think it's important, well, I know it's important that we got to stay tuned in for his leading and direction. Just recently, I was doing some travel and we're going to a place that we've never been before. And when you go to a place that you've never been before, lately in our time here, we're reliant on the GPS. Normally we'd be reliant on maps, but we're reliant on the GPS today to tell us which way to go, to tell us which direction to go to get to the destination. And if you've never been this way before, you got to have something to navigate you along that path. Now, I also think it's important that we set up guideposts or mile markers or markers in time so we could tell other people how to go on that path as well. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, just asking for God's help because he's taken us down a path that we've never been before, for his leading and direction to get tuned into him so that we discern which way to go. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God. Unfortunately, I was walking in darkness and I didn't even know it. Just had the stress and pressure and weight of life on me. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business and life just really wasn't going the way that I wanted to go. My business was very up and down. I had some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars a month. I remember getting to the place and just going for a walk around the neighborhood with my wife and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And it wasn't for a lack of searching. I was seeking out, traveling all over the country, studying with some of the best health and fitness experts, trying to learn how our bodies work, trying to figure out how to make my business function better. I'm reading books. I'm taking courses. I'm searching and seeking after truth. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. Then eventually I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters, so on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two, and you keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over again. So I've been doing the Proverbs for a little while, and one day I came across Proverbs 13:22. It just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to create manuals, lessons, systems, teaching, training for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances and all the different areas of life. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. But I began to seek after God, began to press into him. He began to show up, began to teach me, began to train me. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. And I can say this for sure. He definitely began to take me on a path that I had never been down before in my life. Began to teach me his ways, began to teach me a different way of doing things, connected to him, making him the source of everything. And it was definitely a different path because I got put in some impossible looking situations, but only to see him to show up and come through over and over and over again. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program with books and courses and partners. It was just simply me documenting what God was taking me through this process, through this way that I'd never been before. And it still continues on that journey with him. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing that we do, I believe, is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Has the ability to just turn things around, to turn the tables, to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind in remembrance, making it active and relevant today in this present moment. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation. of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I found us this opportunity. We could take these promises that God has made and it can serve as a marker in time. It can serve as a mile marker or a guidepost to look back and say, that was the day things turned around. That was the day I believed I received that promise from God and believed I experienced Him helping me walk in that promise from this point on in my life. It was the turning point. And communion is this powerful thing. We're taking these spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus. We're stirring them into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination. And then we combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and juice. Physical things can serve as triggers to help us to remember. You probably have things around your house that are physical things that trigger certain memories in your life. Communion can serve to trigger that memory of all that He did and all that He made available for us. But it's important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I believe it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, walking in darkness, separated from Him forever. But He sent His one and only Son. He loved us that much. Jesus didn't have to come, but He chose to humble Himself, even unto death on a cross. And He did it for us. He didn't have to die for His own sins. He didn't have any. He spit on and hit and whipped and mocked and ridiculed, rejected by His own people, betrayed by His own disciple. Worst of all, I believe He's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto His body. His body is destroyed. But then on the other side, He's raised back to life. He's victorious over death, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in His sight through His one sacrifice. He releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says, some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe the principles of physical exercise are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank You for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of Your dear Son. I thank You for Your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank You that Jesus was smitten for us so that You could fight for us. And I keep asking that You, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know You better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which You've called us and the riches of Your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of Your power to us who believe, the same power that You exercised in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And You put all things under His feet and made Him to be the head of the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask You to bless us, to make Your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in Your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive Your purpose and grace, Your love and Your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. And help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes. And to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? This is a time to examine ourselves. How are we going to do it? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact the things that we do, the decisions that we make, everything that we do today, all the different areas of life. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. So we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. I think it's important. We remember God's taken us through a process. He's taken us through a process. He's taken us on a way that we've never been before. And what's this process look like? We can see this in the Old Testament where God takes the people from Egypt to the Promised Land. First, he releases them out of slavery, out of bondage, out of darkness. They cross the Red Sea, which it says was like their baptism. But then they go into the wilderness. And the wilderness is a time where God's proving his faithfulness and his trustworthiness to them. And he gives them this glimpse of the Promised Land. And they could have gone right in. But most of them would not believe. They were not willing to move forward with what God had for their life. He was taking them on a way that they'd never been before. But many of them were not willing to move forward because it looked impossible. He's going to give us a glimpse of some promises, some things that look impossible in our life. If we choose to believe them, choose to believe and receive them, we'll move forward. Because he can't take us into this land on our own. When we begin to cross over, they had to cross the Jordan River first, which took a step of faith. The rivers were flowing at flood stage. They had to step into the waters first. We have to be willing to take that first step of faith. And then when they cross over onto the other side, they had to be circumcised. They had to let go of some old ways. And they got to go through this transition where God tells them, I'm not going to give the promised land to you immediately. It's going to take more than a year to possess the land. Why? Because if they didn't, the beasts would become too many. We have to learn how to put off our old ways. We got to learn how to let God's grace beautify our lives, to be able to step into what he has. Because you can't take this land, can't step into these promises. We inherit them through faith and patience. You can't step into them in our own ways, in our own self-effort, trying to figure everything out on our own. He's taken us on a way that we've never been before. And the only way we can take it is by staying tuned into him and following him. So our first fundamental, how are we going to take it? Our first fundamental. Let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And to be in position is a big deal because it puts us into position to be able to receive all that God has for us. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble that are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And just that simple childlike faith and humility that simply just believes in God, just trusts in him. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrongs. Delighting in the truth. Always hoping. Always trusting. Always persevering. Because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day. Is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ, which puts us in position to receive everything that God has put in Christ. Today, we have this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. We get to be one with him today. God has taken everything that he has and he put it all in Christ. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, they're all available today. He's got health and energy for today. He's got more than enough time. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He's got purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. We become part of his family. We get this connection, this fellowship with God, this fellowship with people. It's all found in the light. Just walking in the light today. So first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. We're going to turn up the brightness of it. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I like to think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over again on the inside? What are those things that we're consistently talking about? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. His unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. You've probably had the example. We had some issue or problem, and the more you talked about it, the more you thought about it, the more you meditated on that problem, it seemed like the problem grew bigger. And you probably got further and further, actually, from the solution, because that's not how we find the perfect solutions that God has. Is learning to turn those over to him, to rest and to trust in him, that he can solve those problems a whole lot better than we can. And choosing just to give them over to him. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, doing things on our own without God. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because wherever we're positioned, whatever we're magnifying, is going to produce some symptoms in our life. When we're out of position, might be a tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at them or withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. You're dreading things in the future. We're toiling away in our mind trying to figure it all out. You get stuck in these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And now everything is free and easy and effortless, because when we rest, God goes to work. We've got his peace and his joy and his love, his energy, his mind and wisdom. All of a sudden, we've got more than enough time. We've got fellowship with God, fellowship with people. We become part of his family. It all just begins to flow through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life, these good and perfect gifts from above. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And in those times, it's learning to recognize it quickly and turn it back around. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle, and then we say we're sorry. We forgive other people if we need to. Then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. You pray that simple prayer. You feel that shift on the inside. You feel the weight lift off of you. You get right back into the light again. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned into God. He's trying to take us on a path that we've never been down before. Just like a GPS, you're driving your car and you got to stay tuned in to turn at the right place. We got to stay tuned into him. He's taking us on this different path. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately we've talked about putting some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are truly navigation tools. The filters that we're putting at the top of our journal are navigation tools. What are they? They're short phrases, maybe a sentence, maybe one word that we keep rewriting over and over again as a way to reinforce God's standards for our life, because his standards are meant to help us navigate like true north on a compass. So it might look like something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase helps us to navigate throughout the day. When issues and pressures of life come our way, when people do things that we don't like, God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. Helps us to navigate through those situations. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. Then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what are you trying to show me today? What are you trying to show me today? Just think and reflect back over the day. Get still and listen for a couple minutes. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day, listening for him, tuned into him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take a couple minutes to slow down, get connected with him, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of his presence. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're going to get charged up or powered up in him. And then our next fundamental, doing what we know to do. The final thing I've learned to do in my journal every night before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of him. The grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for today. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like God was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible, and saying, what's the very first thing you see me speak in the Bible? Which is, let there be light. And so I began to start my days this way. First thing out of my mouth in the morning, right when I wake up, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a little simple thing sets the tone for the whole day, brings a different energy into the day. And then we're going to get connected to God. We're going to start walking out that plan. We're going to stay connected to him throughout the day. Walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything that God has for us into our lives. Let's take a look at these scriptures today. Never been this way before. You've never traveled this way before. Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. It says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, you are to set out from your positions and follow it. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between yourselves and the ark. Do not go near it so that you can see the way to go, since you've never traveled this way before. Now, I believe, just for a little context, this is when the Israelites are about to go in. They're crossing over into the promised land. They're about to take Jericho, I believe. And these are in the instructions that God gave them. You've never traveled this way before. So keep some distance. Take your time. Follow me as I take you on this path. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 23, the subtitle there is God's angel to prepare the way. God tells them this, see, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place that I've prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He'll not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. So God's taken us on this way that we've never traveled on before. He's got a different path for our life. His path for our life, I've learned, looks different than we expect. It's not a way that we've been before. We've got to stay tuned into him. We can only take it with his help. We can only get to that destination with his help. We got to pay attention to him. We got to listen to him. Stay tuned into him as we go. So we're going to take communion over this today, just asking for his help. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for your path for our life, your plan for our life, your path for our life. I thank you that you send your angel ahead of us to prepare the way. And we're asking for your help today. We're asking for your help today to help us to stay tuned in to the direction. We've never traveled on this way before. Help us to stay tuned into your leading and direction, to know the path to take in our life. We're asking for your help with that today. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. God sent his one and only son. He loved us that much. Jesus chose to come. He's willing to come. He's willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross for us. He's betrayed and rejected and spit on and hit and mocked and ridiculed, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, God's wrath is poured on his body. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto the body of Jesus. He was destroyed. But then he's raised back to life. And that same victorious power, the same spirit that raised him from the dead, now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence, all because of his one sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." In the old covenant, the covenant had to be ratified or finalized with the sprinkling of blood. We've been given this new covenant. The blood of Jesus forgives our sin, cleanses us, releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. We can have this new covenant with God, this personal relationship with him. And I believe as you experience God is helping you navigate down this way you've never traveled before, leading you to this beautiful place. It's just going to help you to know him that much more. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take a juice. All right. Let's talk about some health and fitness stuff. So recently, like I said, I was traveling. I didn't load up my barbell and my plates and those types of things in my car when we were traveling. But here's what I did do. I brought a pair of 20-pound dumbbells, one pair of 20-pound dumbbells. I also had a band, but actually never used the band the whole time I was there. I don't even know where the band went to. Never used the band. And here's what I did. We talk about our daily communion workout. If you don't have the workout, if you go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, if you get on our email list, you'll get access to the workout. I did the daily mobility routine. When I'm on vacation, when I'm traveling, my approach has always been this. This is always what I tell clients to do. Get the day off to a good start. Have a healthier breakfast. Get the day off to a good start, because you never know. Sometimes the day gets away from you. And so I would try to have a good breakfast, have our normal breakfast, and then try to get some exercise in first thing in the morning. But here's what I did. I actually took a little different approach than I've ever done before this time while traveling. I would get the day started. Once I got up and moving, I would do the daily mobility routine and one round of the body weight exercises, squats, push-ups, sit-ups, those types of things. I would do those. And then I had my 20-pound dumbbells, and they were downstairs in the bedroom where we were staying. And every time I would go into the bedroom, I would do one set of something. It might have been a curl to press. It might have been snatches. It might have been the core complex that we have on there. And 20-pound dumbbells. And for me, that's a pretty light weight. For ladies, maybe you would bring a pair of 10-pound or 15-pound dumbbells. You could do a lot of it with the band. If you didn't have any equipment at all, you could do it all body weight exercises. If I didn't have the dumbbells, I would have been doing push-ups, squats, sit-ups, burpees all throughout the day. And just all throughout the day, I was doing little spurts of like 1 to 2 minute workouts all throughout the day. So I was literally working out almost all day long, but it was only in like one set at a time. And I never went close to failure, never went close to struggling in anything. But I do believe, actually noticed something. We talk about working out as an opportunity to connect with God. It's a time of just greater connection with God because I'm working out and physically moving my body, trying to connect with Him. And so actually when I came home, I picked up a barbell for the first time and I noticed I hadn't fallen off any. I might've been actually stronger through all the practice, I think. So something you can try if you're ever traveling, just break it up, make it easy, get your day off to a good start, and then just put little bits of exercise throughout the day. One set of push-ups, one set of squats, a set of sit-ups, a set of burpees, whatever it is, all throughout the day. It's amazing what it can do. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.